Hey, this is Spencer Buchanan.
Oh, we're not, dude, we're not doing that.
We're not doing introductions.
Doing intros. We
were doing intros.
No.
We want to do intros.
Professionals.
I'm Werefire.
Werefire. Oh, snap. This is the Spenny.
I'm Bobby McGee.
Bobby McGee?
I am.
I'm afraid.
Totally lost right now.
So
my thumb in the corner.
That was karate.
Maybe actually, you know what? Since we've got a whole bunch of people, let's do some introductions. You talked me into it.
Oh, I got some music tracks for you guys, by the way.
Hey, cool.
Oh, awesome.
They're premium tracks. They're pretty awesome.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
And you can throw them like at the beginning and in the middle.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
And then always put them at the beginning.
Hey, this is a boring part. We're just going to let you listen to music for 2 minutes. That's a good idea.
So speaking of music, I've been listening to a lot of Onomaniguchi. It's awesome. Bit Tripper?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this crazy song called Blackout City that's just insane, like Japanese metal, but 8-bit Japanese metal. Oh man, it makes me so happy. We'll listen to it afterwards.
I need a link.
Yeah, we're linking that one to the podcast.
Okay,
I have a link we can put underneath.
I don't know. That's
mm-hmm.
How you guys are so technical.
Oh, we'll find.
I just like record it on my phone and upload it, and then
there's so much fun.
There's
stuff you
internet
can do.
Magic that happens.
Mm-hmm. You get this guy involved, and he's gonna make it awesome.
I like doing fun stuff.
All right, so
we should probably introduce everyone. We've got a bunch of people here this evening.
Yeah, let's go around the table. So there's Spencer. I'm here.
Hooray!
Again, somehow.
Yay!
They let
Spencer's
me stay.
Still here.
Yay!
He really wanted to leave last week.
I'm Trent.
You convinced him.
I cried.
And I'm also here, still.
And we got a newcomer.
We do. New to the podcast.
Oh, he's eating
right now. All right, we'll come back to that.
Karate.
Brandon Karate, still here.
Hooray.
I came back.
We got to do his intro this week, so we forced us to bring him back.
Oh, yeah.
Am I technically a part of this?
You are technically. You are actually a part of this.
I thought I was just mooching pizza.
That's actually a big part of it.
That was the trick.
It's a bribe.
If you want pizza, you got to talk.
Why don't you say something?
You're going to make me nervous.
She didn't pay, so she's clean.
Oh, she's clean. Okay. That's Ashley McMillan. She's like this really cool artist here.
She is awesome.
Apparently.
Dude, you didn't see the sketch she did at the ILM thing last
time. I did, and I actually promoted her.
Who forced it up.
Oh, we'll have to talk about ILM.
Freaking amazing.
Yeah, we will.
LucasArts came and talked to us yesterday.
I know.
Oh.
Jealous. I was jealous.
It was pretty cool.
I'm sorry.
Seemed pretty cool.
We got AT-AT pins.
Oh, my heart is dying
like
just
one?
A little bit.
I think we have some extra.
Yes, I want one.
Limited edition, one of 4,000. Wow. Okay.
I think we have a few extras.
So I think the pizza is now covered in ice crystals.
Ooh. So last here is Sterling. He's eating a lot, so he's not going to introduce himself or something.
What a hater.
A hater.
Sterling Pierce, first time.
Hooray.
Dot.
He doesn't seem like it, but he's a pretty good guy.
Often times.
Usually.
In person, then we'll talk.
Don't ask me this week.
Unless Dark Sterling comes out to play.
Yeah, this is a bad week.
Dark Sterling.
My favorite
fantasy series. Anti-Sterling. Bizarro Sterling.
Like my team calls me, like they're like, when can Dark Sterling come play to get everybody else on task? And I'm like, he only comes out during October. In the Batman voice, it's really cool.
Oh, Batman voices.
And the worst part is Rachel is our graphic designer for our program.
Rachel.
And she comes in and everyone goes, Rachel!
Yeah. Hey, cool. Have you seen that video? How it should have ended?
No.
There's how it should have ended, how the Dark Knight should have ended. Great site, by the way, howitshouldhaveended.com. But it's awesome. There's this part where basically the Joker throws Rachel out of the window, you know, like from the movie.
What he meant to say was, spoiler alert.
Nah.
That's not a spoiler.
Nah. What?
Rachel gets thrown out of the window.
Spoiler alert is...
Also, the movie came out like...
No.
Spoiler alert is the Joker gets
really?
Caught.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's a spoiler alert.
What?
Also, the movie ends.
Heath Ledger died.
There's credit?
Man.
Oh, that was brutal. That will be edited.
Wait a minute. Is that too soon? I mean, that's like 5 years taste, ago.
A little too soon, bro. Heath Ledger is loved.
No, there was no spite in my voice.
An explicit tag on iTunes.
It's okay. I'll correct this. Spencer in America. Oh, you are American.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Actually, I don't want to talk about this. Okay.
How it should have ended.
About half. Oh yeah. Sorry. We'll get back to that. Yeah. I think half of the reason, not half, but a lot of the reason why Dark Knight did so well was because Heath Ledger died. Now, the reason I say this is because...
That was karate.
It was a pretty good movie, okay? I loved it. I saw it 8 times in theaters, okay?
Wow. Cool.
But the fact that he died added such a different, you know, element to it. Yeah. Like, suddenly it was just, whoa, and he died? This is so dark. This is so twisted. Yeah. And he was playing the Joker. It was like one of the most twisted characters in the last, like, decade.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, it was just all these things built up for this movie, and it was a great movie, but I think that really contributed a lot.
I remember actually hearing pre-movie buzz of, like, I heard that he lived in a mental hospital for 6 weeks just to get into the position, and he was doing all these things, and he was so mentally unstable that by the end of it, he was on meds, and that's what killed him. And whether it's true or not, it makes us huge, like, crazy meta lore
people were
of the movie, and people are talking about the movie, and they're like, oh, I want to see this. He must be so intense in that movie, which he was. Yeah. I mean, he didn't disappoint. but at the same time, it definitely added a lot more fervor for the game. For the movie.
Well, it's funny, because like, they never show a behind the scenes where he's, like, joking and laughing with the crew. You know, that never happened. You'd never find footage of that online. Like, I've looked.
I haven't
been able to find it. I mean, he's like, oh, and then we were telling jokes on set. It's like, no, he was, like, he was
creep
deep.
Mode. Just dark.
He was so into that character.
Interesting.
Trying to nice Christian Bale during water breaks.
Why the F did you do this?
Leave me alone. Quit dunking me in the water.
You want me to trash your lights?
Wow. Well, you know,
I don't care how you got those scars. Quit asking me.
You got them from the makeup department. I got it. You told me that last week. I'm thinking of BFF mode in Borderlands 2 that just happened.
Okay, sure.
You know, girlfriend mode or whatever we want to call
girlfriend
it.
Girlfriend mode.
Girlfriend mode. And, awesome. I'll tell you what, no press is bad press, but they definitely didn't want that to happen, I'm sure, but at the same time, it's another thing that caused buzz.
It's awesome.
Modern Warfare 2, there's a level where you're a terrorist, how could you? And oh my gosh.
Counter-Strike? Anybody ever played this game?
Yeah, I know, right? But you can shoot civilians.
What's the last game that I played? Like, before coming here?
World of Warcraft.
Oh, no.
This game.
I did play some World of Warcraft recently.
I knew it.
But it was, like, a few weeks ago. I got a Scroll of Resurrection, so I got a free level 80.
Oh, yeah.
And then that ran out, and then I did not renew my subscription. So, once again, I beat World of Warcraft!
Woo-hoo! Yay!
Okay, so you know what's funny is that podcast, episode 3, mm-hmm. reminded me, well, my friend reminded me of my first experience with, what was the game? EQ? EverQuest.
EverQuest.
Oh, yeah.
Crack.
Yeah. So let me tell you this story. It's awesome. It's about either the greatest salesman in the entire world or the worst salesman in the entire world. I don't know. It's the same salesman. Okay, so I got a brand new computer from my friend Christian, who's awesome, who's listening to the podcast. Hey, buddy. Anyway, he got me this new computer. And so we went to Circuit City at the time, as you do.
Of course.
To buy EverQuest. Like, I just wanted to play this game. It looked like something that would just really appeal to me. And so we go in, and I'm like, I'm trying to find it. I ask the guy, like, hey, where's EverQuest? And he's like, oh, man, EverQuest. Oh, let me tell you about EverQuest. He was talking about how, like, it was so awesome, and he fought a dragon, and there was, like, there were, like, 40 people, like, all teaming up to fight this dragon. And he lost his girlfriend because of it. And I'm like... I have no girlfriend. Right. Like, I didn't understand what he was trying to do. Because he was explaining how awesome it was. And I'm like, man, you're really not selling me on this. I'm going to buy this game. Like, because on your recommendation, I'm buying this game. Anyway, so if he didn't want me to play, he was the worst salesman in the world. If he did want me to play, best salesman ever. It's like that reverse psychology, like, you're not going to have a girlfriend. Well, I don't anyway, dude. Thanks.
We're set. No risks.
Criteria. No girlfriend.
Check. You can now play.
I think that's on the requirements on the box, right?
They stopped asking.
Unless your girlfriend plays.
The first second right there.
George? Oh, Cameron.
Cameron, yes.
Yeah.
He has...
this is Adam.
Wait, we forgot to introduce Adam.
Right, yeah. Adam.
I didn't say that. Yeah. So this is Adam.
He has a girlfriend. You know how he met her.
That he's... They've...
The EverQuest.
Yeah, so...
So they've never met?
They've never met. They've been dating for...
Yeah, they met on EverQuest.
Nigh on many years.
Was it WoW?
Yeah.
Did they meet in person?
They've never met in person.
No, yeah, I meant, but didn't they meet on...
Yeah, they met online. They've had a relationship.
I know, that's...
And it's amazing. Oh, it's something
Cameron,
that's...
if you're listening to this, we love you.
Yeah.
No, I mean... That's pretty impressive, actually.
It's very impressive. It's impressive, one, he's doing it, and I know him, but also that can happen, you know? Yeah. You can be in a...
That way it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
I think it's, cool. Oh, games are so cool.
Dude. Because
of stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. And also to think... Okay, so, sorry. This is way back machine all of a sudden. This Saturday, my wife and I will have been together for 10 years. High fives.
Woo! Yeah! High fives. I give you high fives.
High fives. Awesome.
Oh, yeah,
awesome.
Man.
Thank you, everyone.
Young buck.
I know, but I met her after I started playing EverQuest. You know, like, this game has been around forever.
Yeah. 99?
Was it 99 or early 2000?
13 years, 14.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
That sounds about right.
I mean, WoW's almost to 10 years.
2004, no.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Beyond Good and Evil, one of the greatest games ever, just so you know.
So good,
which Spencer won't play. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, Spencer, let's talk about why you haven't played this game.
Oh my gosh, it's the interwebs. I blame the interwebs. If you look to our left, the PlayStation is up, and
do you see it, guys? Look to your left. Oh, yeah. See the game that Spencer's talking about.
That's right. No, we just bought it.
Oh, us.
Who bought Retro City Rampage?
I haven't bought it yet.
I want to check that one out. But no, we just bought on PS. the HD version of Beyond Good and Evil, and so I'm going to crack that out when I have time this week, which
you
so might be between like 3 and 4 in the morning.
There's this game that we're intensely reviewing at this point, though, that might distract you.
Mm. There's a lot of time.
Borderlands 2. Have you heard of it?
There's some amazing...
More like Boring Lands 2.
Oh, man, you're so fired.
Have you met Tina?
No.
Once you meet Tina, you'll understand. And Handsome Jack's a pretty funny fellow, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it.
Anyways.
Oh, man.
I know.
That's it.
I haven't played Modern Warfare either.
Oh, no.
That's for you, Harrison. I love you.
Okay. If you want to get punched right now, continue by saying...
Keep talking about it.
Yeah, no.
No World of Warcraft.
No.
That's your game.
I agree with that one.
Sorry. That's your game.
If you want to watch...
How about League of Borges? That's a stupid one. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
They mean, thank you.
Just say the League of Borges.
Oh, that's a good one.
They mean,
which one?
I don't think it's good. No, that's a bad one.
Have you played League of Legends?
Yes, I love League of Legends.
I do too, actually.
We were going to talk about our league.
Because of you guys, I finally gave Riot $10.
Yeah!
Whoa.
Yeah.
I made so much money.
Well, Ziggs was on sale. I had to get Ziggs.
Which one?
You know, he's the explosives expert. How hilarious is that?
Hexplosives.
H-E-X. P-L-O-S.
He explodes all over.
He's mage.
Right.
Outside of Yi and Shen, my vocabulary of League of Legends becomes very minimal.
Wait, who and Shen?
Yi, Master Yi.
Oh, it's a Master Yi.
Yeah.
However, Master Yi's pretty awesome. Never see a better backdoor Yi.
That's right.
And a tank Shen that'll make you cry.
That's right. That's how awesome. I play too. I'm like,
why are some of my teammates dying so much that I have to just attack turrets?
Me in these team fights and just keep making fun of, but I can only take out turrets because that's what wins the game.
I don't know. I like beating him into submission until they surrender.
Well, there was that one game. We were down by like 30-something kills.
Yeah.
30-something kills. And we still ended up winning because I attacked the turrets.
That's right.
That was like my job in life.
Hey, guys.
The more people's
actually,
ups.
Let's get into a League of Legends conversation. Sure. And we got two all pros over here.
All pros.
All pros.
So, you guys want to introduce yourselves?
We're recording a podcast right now.
Yeah. Okay. You want to come talk with us? We're gonna talk some League.
Okay.
Come on. This is Christian Munoz.
Jorge.
Oh my God. Jorge.
Just say what's your name.
Who we are.
My name is Christian Munoz. I play League for about a year now.
Who do you play?
He's a pro, dude.
This isn't an Alcohol Anonymous meeting. Come on.
Hi, Christian.
I recently have played a lot of Diana, Darius. I'm trying to learn jungling with Rengar.
His main squeeze though is Shyvana. So we're all dressing up as our characters that we play in the league.
Oh, right. So for Halloween.
For Halloween. Right. So Christian's going to dress up as Shyvana.
We've got Christian's dragon
form. That's awesome.
I would.
So wait, how are you going to switch? How are you going to switch from her regular form to her dragon form?
Oh,
that's the challenge.
When Christian gets mad, you see his flames.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard.
Oh, okay.
I heard him yelling down the hall once, and he's like, "Arrah!" I was like, that's not how a dragon screams when he transforms, but that's what he thinks it does.
He's practicing. He's going to be ready on Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so go around the table. Christian, Shyvana,
yeah.
you like ganking. You're a hunter or an assassin.
I do mid lane a lot more recently, though. It's actually, to be fair, it's been maybe 2 months since I've touched Shyvana, so.
Wow, what's going on there?
I've just been doing a lot of mid laning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Sterling, what's
You know she's not going to stick with you if you don't touch her.
I know, right, yeah. I just got to talk nice to her next time.
That's right.
So Sterling, you're a Yi and a Shen. You like
Yi and Shen, ninjas only.
He likes ninjas.
Like the ninjas, stealthy.
Yeah.
Wander off by myself. A lot.
A lot.
I can honestly say I don't die a lot though.
No, you're freaking a ninja in game for sure.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Ninja skills.
And so you just rely on a 4-on-5 fights all the time while we die, you go and rack it up.
That's right.
So
kill Adam, because that's what
you play League
games.
That's right.
You play League of Legends.
Adam plays Halo.
Yeah, he's a
Halo man.
There's only one game for him.
Only one game to rule them all.
Yeah.
One game to find them.
Real quick.
FIFA. Geometry
Wars. Oh, that's true. FIFA.
Okay.
Geometry Wars.
I hit.
Nice.
That's what I'm playing.
All right.
Fast, intense, and action. Yeah, Borderlands 2.
Oh, I love that game.
Oh, you play that too?
Yeah. Come on.
We used to play an Xbox.
Oh, so. Okay.
I know.
It's still pretty awesome.
I would not expect you how many people
got
get that game for Xbox. And I would like that everybody had that game. So I actually bought PS3 games.
You just had to. Okay, compare Halo to Borderlands 2 for me. Is there a comparison?
Halo has more actions.
Okay.
Borderlands is more smooth.
How is
it? Gameplay.
What's it smooth? What makes it smooth?
Movie and shooting, the aim and the point of movie is so smooth.
Oh, interesting.
This is what I want. So,
do you?
Halo is better challenge, action, and drive you nuts. So,
I have seen this guy go like 20-2 in rounds. I mean, this you want to talk about someone that's got a wicked KD right now. This boy will make you cry. And he just laughs. And all he does is he laughs when he plays. He's like, sucker, you're an idiot. And it's so funny to watch him play. I don't play Halo.
He does it, yeah, I don't even try it.
Yeah,
I watched him play once. I was like, no. Not playing it.
Yeah.
I'm never playing the game.
Talking about Halo and ODST, Spencer.
Yeah, let's, you know, ODST, if you, I was going to say, if you
wait,
wanted
is
to
is ODST
really...
Halo?
Okay.
Yeah, it was the one with...
You.
Oh crap, Sterling's mad. Dark Sterling came
it's
out.
Dark Sterling.
Alright, karate, so.
I knew we could do it.
With League of Legends.
I like bruisers. I play Garen almost, well, not exclusively, but he's my number one.
He is Garen.
I am Garen.
He is Garen.
What's your ringtone again?
Demacia! Yeah. No, it's just I like getting into the middle of the fight and constantly be dishing damage and taking damage and not worrying about either. I like people to be scared of me.
Which you do in the very game. Well. No, you do that out of game.
In person, too.
I'm a scary guy.
Yeah. Ugh.
Handlebar mustache. Let me take the listeners a picture. You know, tall, dark, and handsome. Well, throw a mustache on the handlebars.
And a mullet.
Yeah, and a mullet. But it's so short in front because it's all business up front, yeah. Party in the back.
Yeah, it's true. So. It's the only way I roll.
So, we should post a picture of some like, Karate's a breed.
You can look me up.
He's got post-staff skills.
Yeah. Why are you wearing chaps today, by the way? Yeah.
Nothing else is clean. Sorry, guys. We have to clean out this chair later.
That's why we do a podcast, not a video. For you listeners,
what am I wearing
you?
For Halloween?
we're only thinking
it'd be,
of you.
It'd be really interesting to have them describe what they think we look like.
Oh,
I think that would be interesting. That would be unless they cheat.
Yeah.
Spencer's got a pink phone. Okay.
That's all I'm gonna say. Anyway, but, I mean, I play AD carries if I need to, but generally it's heavies. I like being a bruiser right in the middle. So.
Awesome, Ashley.
So I play support. I keep people alive
she
with Soraka.
She's the best support ever.
Yes.
Ward around.
Amazing. Pretty damn awesome.
Get really upset when people are like, I'm going to turret dive and die because I can't heal.
Wait,
that
who does
fast.
That?
That never.
I don't turret dive. I know when I can turret dive and I know when I can. Sometimes.
You get in the middle of the fight and die before I can heal anything. Oh, the stresses of support.
It's well, especially from what I can tell, playing with Spencer. Oh, God! And it went there. What are we, 10 minutes
so
in?
So I'm a sniper and I just run forward.
To be fair, he's got much better at dying in places where we can get him back up.
I still, like, I've been playing a different way than last week on my assassin. Because
you mean you've been shooting people in the head?
No, but he's specced either to be long range or close up. Okay, so spec him to be either long range or close up
I
and
did.
Stay there. And so I spec him to be close up, and he's still useless. Like, I mean, it's like I still can't figure this guy out.
So he's a sniper that you spec to be close up?
Yeah.
All right.
But he when there's two trees and it's sniper, melee, or a mix.
It's a test.
It's
you've
a,
got
it's a
you
test
not
of
passing.
I honestly, I know I'm not. I just
wait, Gearbox was literally like, let's trick some people. Okay? Let's see how many people we can convince to go melee with the sniper class. This is awesome.
I'm sure that was their design. Like, let's see.
They're looking at their metrics and they're like, Spencer.
Shut up.
Spencer did tell us the other day he learned that you can zoom on the guns.
Yeah. Man, it was great. We were like,
I'm gonna throw up.
Wait, you didn't know
it was in the menus. You could zoom in on the gun in the menus.
Oh, I was gonna say, I didn't know you could zoom.
It's funny because he was almost level 50. We've been playing the game for like a month.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he hasn't been out that long. Okay, weeks.
Yeah, he's very enthusiastic and like he does. Fall
guys,
down a little bit, you know. He's like, you can zoom on the guns, and we just like it was a collective.
Why? Like everyone just stopped playing at that.
Pretty much. Even my character was like, WTF just came right up as he looked at the guy and just shook his head.
Like skags are attacking.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, Rudy. You just gotta explain to our sniper.
Even they're just like, what?
On his level 48.
The skags just stopped and looked at him. We're just like.
No wonder.
I thought they were binoculars. What are you gonna do?
Oh man!
You're like, yep, they're over there.
I'm gonna go melee. We're hitting him in the head.
I'm never playing a first-person shooter with you. Ever.
Oh yeah. By the way, Ashley over here. What's your KD on like Modern Warfare 3? Like 300?
No, that's a 2.2 now.
2.2 KDR. But how many hours would you give it?
2.2.
A lot.
Yeah, a lot of hours. Like that's a well put together KDR.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit. What's up?
Yeah.
That was Adam. Mine
is 1.55 on Halo.
My Halo's lower than my Modern Warfare.
Really?
Yeah. What is
because
my Halo?
Because you can run in Modern Warfare.
That's true. All the time. But if I say it,
it's okay. There's a mod to let you run.
That's true.
Oh, I'll just put this on here. Now I can move faster by running.
Now I can move at normal speeds.
If only. Oh, man. Wish I knew how to do this normally.
So, all right, so this is a whole bunch of game developers here. We've got artists, we've got producers, we've got coders, we've got a technical artist here. Nice. He's totally rigging my raindrop like no one's business today.
It's going to be the illest raindrop you've ever
seen.
That's
my new phrase.
Wow.
You've been rigging a raindrop?
You've been rigging a raindrop. That's what the kids are calling it these days.
You know I have been.
So, let's see if we can make some sense of what's going on with Borderlands 2 and with League of Legends right now. Like, how, you know, we've seen Modern Warfare, we've seen Halo, and we've seen those really hardcore fan bases. How do those translate to these games that, I mean, Borderlands 2, I was having an argument that it's not even a game because there's really no lose state. If you die, you just respawn, run back in, and die again.
It's like any other shooter.
There's almost no punishment. Yeah, I mean, the punishment is almost more menial than that you see in the others.
I was losing almost $500,000 of death.
Oh, yeah, because that was
saving your butt.
Somebody died, I'll get him up. I died.
What were you going to do with that money? I mean, spend the $10,000 it costs to reload all your ammo from the box. I mean,
no. Gamble. Hello.
Oh, right.
There are lots of slots machines.
Moxie's place. Come on.
Moxie? Yeah.
Go tip Moxie some more.
No, I mean, I don't know. I doubt. I want to believe that it's not that the currency system in that game is broken, but they try to make it look like it's consequential, but it's quite inconsequential to lose a whole bunch of money every time you die.
I think you do have a point. I mean, Borderlands 2, part of the fun of it is it's frustrating to be set back a little bit, but it doesn't pull you out. Like, yeah. I've been playing, I played Dishonored. I beat it this last week. And
humble brags.
I'm not bragging, it's just what I did. But
I was bored.
It's how he rolls.
That's how I roll. I like that.
His producers have so much time.
Oh, well, nice.
No, it was just...
I could talk to you about producers in time.
It's one that I've really been wanting to play, and so I finally just sat down and did it. And the most frustrating part of that game was the fact that every time I died, because you can die really fast in that game, you're stealthy, supposed to be this stealthy assassin, and I'm not a very stealthy guy. I'm kind of a rushing in the middle and like hit everybody as fast as I can.
He's a Garen.
I'm a Garen. And so I'm not very good at it. I died a lot. But every time you die, you have to reload, load up the save, you know, get back into the game, and you're stuck out of the game for almost a minute and a half.
Oh, wow.
Okay? As this game reloads itself and gets you back to... Then you finally get to a save point from before, and then get back to where you were.
So you've got
to
go through and replay again.
Yes.
Stuff you've already played.
And that was very illuminating for me when we went back to Borderlands. I died. Yeah, died, but I'm regenerated and right back into it. I have to run back a little bit, but there's no, like, reload the entire game. And, you know, wait, and you didn't save early enough, so you have to come back again. It's just like, no, we want you to keep playing this game. And I think that's where the strength of that kind of a design is, to let it... Let's keep playing. You know, don't pull you out of it. You're not playing a game, which is evidence why we end up playing for, like, 3 hours at a time.
Three?
What? Who does that?
Three.
With,
four,
with, at least. With Dishonored, do you think that was a conscious choice that they made to make you go through and do it that way? Or, well, the reason that I ask is, I actually was reading an article on the Penny Arcade Report, which everyone should be reading. It's the greatest.
Props.
Second only to Gama Sutra, maybe. Anyway.
It depends on who's writing.
Well, yeah.
Karate writes for that, by the way.
Hooray. So...
Sorry. Reading an article on Penny Arcade.
Yes. Thank you. Where they were talking about the choices that the designers of Dishonored made in gameplay, like specifically picking up loot, because you have to pick up every single piece of whatever you're picking up. So if there's like 10 gold coins there, You don't just, like, walk over them and you pick them all up. You have to go through and target and pick up each individual coin. And the reason that they did that was to make it really to build the tension between, am I going to pick up all the loot or am I just going to am I going to have to hide, right, from people? And so they did that very consciously. And so anyway, it's kind of it's almost surprising to hear that they would make a choice like that. And so I'm just thinking, like, why would they do that? Why would they make you go through and reload everything?
This is only my opinion, you know. Sure. But my thoughts.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah, I have two thoughts. One, when I've read interviews where they were playing this game, they were making this game, and they said, how do I put this? It was an assassin. You're an assassin. You're supposed to kill people, but they wanted a lot of people. The play testers who played it wanted to try and not kill anybody, you know, see if it was possible. Mm-hmm. And so they started designing the parts of that game around that. Okay,
that's a good follow up.
The save system is set up so that, like, you can save it before you do something risky, quick load back into something else and try it again if you die, or if you kill somebody, or if you do it wrong, because I think this is a weakness in the design. The design wasn't originally built to do a stealth run through. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
I think it was something.
like a non-lethal run through.
Yeah, non-lethal or stealth and not being seen. There's an achievement for getting through the entire game without being seen.
Oh.
Okay.
I need to play this game.
No, but you have magic powers. Like, you know, you have all kinds of abilities and things. You have the ability to stop time, you know, and sneak around people and things like that. But
whoa, break clone.
You can't reverse time.
Oh.
Okay. But what I'm saying
can't
is
even
that
do that.
All these things are really cool, but I honestly, I just used them to kill people more efficiently. Like, it was just way more interesting to me. You know, I'd run up, stop time, take a spring trap and tap it on the guy and walk away in the middle of, like, five guards.
And then
I'd start time back up and it goes off and kills them all. And it was awesome. You know, it's like they never knew I was there. And I thought it was fun. But I think part of the save mechanic, I think that was kind of shoehorned in there, just because it gives you that opportunity to try it over and over again in different ways. Also, funny enough, it makes you think a little bit about what you did. You know, I think that's a good thing. I don't think they designed it that way, but I think it's good to sit there and go, okay, what am I going to do this time?
You know, so it's almost like that video game timeout.
Yeah, kind of.
You are in timeout, mister.
You failed. Go sit in the corner.
For 1 minute and 30 seconds.
And then you can come back
and
start this again.
That's kind of why I was asking the question, is because, you know, if you're supposed to be playing it this, you know, as the stealth game where you're very precise in everything that you do, and you make a mistake, maybe that's how they penalize you for it, is like a video game timeout. It's a good analogy.
Yeah.
You must be a dad.
I am.
Yeah. Awesome.
You're the boss.
And the boss.
Oh. Well, that's awesome.
I mean, like, if we look at Facebook games.
Dev, that's a timeout.
You know, they're not selling currency. They're not selling trees. They're not selling things you can farm. They're selling time, right? I mean, time has become almost the new commodity in video games. Regardless, you know, that's overarching on all of them.
Oh, you're talking about Facebook games.
Well, in Facebook games, but I think any game. I think it's now applying to, you know, we can see that they use time as a commodity in Dishonored to make you think a little harder about, oh, okay, it's going to take me 2 minutes. I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
Borderlands, shoot, man, guns blazing, let's go. You know, I'm going to run in there. I'm going to see how many times I can melee them before they drop me.
They even
use
time in Borderlands and stuff as well by bringing out more packs and stuff for you to buy. Now you can play through the entire game again as the Necromancer or as the Pirate.
I totally got suckered into it. And Bioshock, there's a Bioshock secret area in the Pirates DLC. Yeah.
I haven't played yet. Spoilers!
Spencer!
Whatever! You
preface!
Showed to you earlier.
Preface!
It's just an Easter egg. It's not
never,
like
ever get him to say spoiler alert. He's about to spoil everything. That's why we won't talk about Game of Thrones.
That's probably a good idea.
Spoiler alert, people die.
Come on.
And there's a lot of boobies. At least that's what Andy Sandberg told me.
That's probably pretty accurate. The books are pretty intense.
You've seen that Saturday Night Life skit?
No, I haven't.
The Saturday Night Life skit of that it's George they do a skit where George R. R. Martin is producing the show and they're interviewing him and they're like, well, I had to really tag team with a friend of mine, and it's this little 15-year-old kid who's Andy Samberg, and he's this scene needs more boobies. Can we get some naked women back there? And it's just, you know, playing off the joke that I guess I haven't seen the show, but I guess there's some gratuitous
the show this week. Says.
Nudies. Anyways,
it is a pretty festual movie.
I definitely think time is something that any designer has to be considering in their game, because everything takes time. And how much? I mean, so Sterling and I are working on a game together for our thesis.
Spoiler alert!
Oh.
Wait.
And it's a Kinect game, and time is huge because we're supposed to have people standing and with their arms up. How long does the average person capable of holding their arms up before they go, okay, this is not fun anymore, you know? Or how do you make it so fun that they don't care about how long they're doing it? And so, I mean, time is a commodity that we're making sure not to... we got to make sure to exploit, but not take advantage of, because our fan base would totally say, screw this, I'm going to go play Borderlands 2.
I mostly put exercise in front of the game name.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's exercise. The most popular game ever.
That's right. How long can you keep your hands up? Suck it up. That's all.
But isn't it true?
And the Rangers are just raindrops falling.
Isn't what true?
Assassin's Creed had feathers that you'd collect, or flags, right? And there was like 100-something feathers to collect. All that you got was an achievement.
Yeah.
I think they had a little bit of like video content or something like that. But it was a pain in the butt to collect all these things. You had to go find them all. And all you got was this little... Like, the prize did not merit the task, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And it makes me laugh. It's like, oh, I have to stand here and keep my hands in the air? Oh, you'll give me a high score if I keep my hands in the air? All of a sudden, it's a completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And the task is the exact same.
I have heard critiques for years about how Xbox points related to the achievement are way unbalanced. I mean, there's something that's like, kill 10 million people, we'll give you 10 points in Xbox. And there's actually a website that actually weights the achievement points differently, and so it takes all of your achievements and it tells you what your real score should be based on how difficult the tasks are. But does it really matter? I mean, maybe it doesn't.
Because
that green message pops up and goes, bing, you know, you're like, touching. I got another achievement. I almost think it's that audio visual just response, like, I got an achievement.
Sure.
How much was it? I don't know. I can't do math because obviously 10 doesn't go into 8 like every other, you know, Xbox game. But, you know, I wonder if the math doesn't really matter, but it's that reward.
It isn't. But the thing is, there's been certain games that I think that offered interesting ways to play just because the achievement was there. Dead Space and Dead Space 2 offered some amazing ideas. I never would have thought to try going through all of Dead Space 1 with a pistol.
Oh.
had the game not had that as an achievement.
Suggested that you do
it. Yeah, try that. Is this possible? And who knew it was like the most powerful weapon in the game?
If you focus the
pistol, wipes out everything else. Dead Space 1. Dead Space 2, they kind of rebalance that.
So wait, this sounds a lot like Halo in the pistol.
Style of pistol.
Well, I know.
Plasma cutter.
It's not like a staple gun.
It really is. It's a plasma cutter. It fires a beam and cuts things off. Cuts off limbs. Yeah. Oh, I love that series.
We're starting to talk about something that I kind of wanted to bring up a little bit and talk to you guys about. And Spencer and I talked a little bit about it this week on Twitter, so you should totally follow us. We'll give you the handles later. But emergent gameplay, right? Let's talk about emergent gameplay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's exactly why the people in Dishonored decided to make it possible to do a complete run-through without dying once.
Absolutely.
So, first of all, let's define what is emergent gameplay?
What do you want?
Emergent gameplay. What is it?
Did you hear that there was a guy recently that has a video run-through of Super Mario Brothers, the original NES one, without collecting one coin?
And
achieving the lowest score, so he like doesn't stomp on anyone unless he has to.
Wow.
And so his score... Mario Brothers, the original one. NES. And it's definitely the same reason my brother a couple years ago played the original Legend of Zelda without the sword.
You can
beat the entire game, but when you get to Ganon, you have to hit him with a sword so that he's stunned, and then you can kill him. So you can't beat the final guy, but you can beat the entire game, essentially, without the sword. And it's absolutely funny, and he'll do it, and then a couple months later, he's like, I'm going to go do that again. That was really fun. You know, and it's like, no one intended everyone to not go straight to that room that was right in front of you to pick up your sword. Apparently it's a different seeker to everyone. But, you like that? That
was a good reference. I did like that.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah. 15 I'm on a roll. Hold on.
15 for Gryffindor. Points.
Yeah, should I leave on a high note or should I try another one? Because I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll like
do it.
Egg.
Do it.
Roll.
Dang it! I ruined it.
On a roll.
Minus 20 points for Gryffindor.
You owe us 5 points.
I'm guessing you want to be in Gryffindor. All right,
you can do great things in Slytherin. So emergent gameplay. Playing game the way it was not intended or designed.
Yeah.
But...
finding a new way to play.
Finding a new way to play.
Sure. It's really hard for me to assassinate people in FIFA, though. I've tried.
It's not that hard.
Oh, you're not... You're obviously not playing the Brazilian edition.
Too soon?
That's pretty good.
Red card. Broken leg.
I think it's actually...
ACL out for the season. Assassinated.
I think it's actually the Argentinian version, but I don't remember.
Colombian version.
Something. Yeah. I don't know. Version. Somewhere in South America. Yeah. And we love you all.
All our fans in South America.
So, emerging gameplay is basically, like you said, not playing the game the way it's intended.
Yeah.
Running into all of the turrets, right? That's, for you, that's fun.
Dude.
It's a blast. No. It makes it challenging.
But no, like making up, playing the game in a way that it's not intended. Like, for
Just
example,
Side Spencer doesn't do that.
On purpose.
He's actually much better than we make him out to be in League.
Oh yeah, I forgot to ask you. Who do you play in League?
I've been playing a lot of Jax lately.
He's good.
Tristana. I've been liking AD carries.
I want to play Jax so bad. But I'm no good at League at all.
Cho'Goth. I've been kind of having fun with Cho'Goth because I just want to make sure I have someone that I can be a tank with. Singed. That's Jax and AD carry, like Tristana, are probably my favorite, though.
Awesome.
Spence can out-jungle me any day.
Yeah, I've been trying to jungle it. It's really fun, which isn't saying much because he's never jungled, so...
I've been juggling Rengar. I lost 6 in a row.
Six games are 6
bad.
Oh. And those were bot games.
I never lost a bot game.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big fan of
I have games. Lost bot games.
I know, you know that.
Yeah. It's way fun.
No, we did. We lost
and
that one.
By way fun, I mean
when
way
our
fun.
Friend of ours.
Oh, yeah, that was the worst. I was so pissed that night.
What?
We lost a bot game.
Yeah, and I was like, stop! Dying!
The only time I've ever
just feeding the bots.
He fed the bots who already get more gold and experience than we do anyway.
Oh, 10 and like 1. And it was like,
oh my gosh, we were
what,
so 10
minutes
messed
into
up.
The game, and I was like, are you kidding me?
He's like, how did we die? Sorry, we ruined your emergency gameplay.
No,
that wasn't Dark Sterling either. I took a deep breath.
Oh my gosh.
Shut the machine down and said, never again. Unfriended him. Everything.
It's like, sorry, that guy, we're not playing with him no more.
Dead to me.
We used the bots. Dead to
that's
exactly
yeah, that's.
Right.
You have to try to lose the boss.
Okay, we tried really hard to
you don't have to
almost lose, but we beat it out at the end when it took us 100 an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh my god,
to hour
and
that
20
one.
Out of bot game. Oh, it's terrible.
I walked in and I was like, same game, guys?
Uh huh.
You know they're bots, right?
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. No.
As far as the rhythm game, but you have some
so,
stuff. Sorry.
I was. Oh yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Good question.
Sure.
How many have you played Halo?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Halo 2, perhaps level 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, like Modern Warfare. You know, talk about.
For
online.
Oh, I didn't play the online. I didn't play the online.
You know,
I did play
about,
yeah. on Halo 3.
Halo 2 and Halo 3, perhaps level 1.
Like
two,
the ranking?
Three. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can move down, you can move up, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you lose too many games, you move down.
Yep.
If you win a lot of games, you move up.
Yeah, and they kind of match you with the same people. I agree.
However, Halo Reach, they don't have one. Not fun.
What? Why?
Well,
why did they not do that in Halo Reach?
Not fun because most people are not very good. I beat them all the time.
But so, says the guy with like a 20-1 KD.
My point is that the level 1, 2, 3 and you up and down is perfect for your skill.
Yep.
And you know how cool red level are you on? By my opinion.
No, so, I agree with you.
What's your opinion about that?
Because, well, I agree with you because I don't think it's fun for you to just play against people who don't give you a challenge. Yeah, I also don't think I don't think it's fair or fun for people who can't give you that challenge to play against you. You know, if people have to feel like they're able to play the game that they want to play, and if you're just killing them because they don't have the same skill level as you, it's not going to be fun for them. Yeah. They're going to stop playing.
You're disappointed.
It's not going to be fun for you because they're not playing anymore.
Yeah. Well, right? No one likes going online anywhere and just getting stomped, you know?
Yeah.
Like, except 4chan.
It's just where you just show up and it's like, hey, I want to... I just started... you know, you get ripped to shreds.
That's why I stopped playing Counter-Strike. After I played it all night one night.
But funny enough, awesome. League does that in the background. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I did.
But League does that in the background. Like, even in ranked games, it does it anyway. But it also does it in actual... games, like just their normal whatever games, like if you're losing a lot, your internal ranking will go down. Okay, so like there's certain people that I play with that like I'll end up not that good. Okay, and I know that. Okay, and so when they invite me to a game, I know about the caliber of players that I'm going to be playing with and against.
So do you adjust the way that you play based on that?
No, I play exact same. Oh, regardless. Okay. I either it works really well or it doesn't.
You own their stupid faces. So let's talk about that a little bit. We'll get back to emergent gameplay in a little bit.
Sure.
So when you play with people who are less experienced, do you sometimes have a more difficult time?
In League, no. Because there's a lot of technical pieces to put together when you're playing League. And somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, unless I play really stupid... generally doesn't have the innate know-how to just stop me from doing what I do.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sure.
No,
sure.
I've heard...
But I'm sure you're sometimes surprised by what people are doing in a negative way, but are you also surprised by what they're doing in a positive way?
Sometimes. I've had several games, especially playing as Garen when I fight another Garen, where they'll match my build, item for item, and just trying to keep up. And it's really interesting because I'll be like, okay... I see exactly what you're doing. You're doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't have to adjust because I know the strengths and weaknesses of this character.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a lot of it comes down to research and knowing the players and knowing all these things. And like, I think it's different from, say, a fighting game where a button masher can really give you fits.
Yep.
If they, I won! You know, how did you win? I have no idea. I just went and pushed a bunch of buttons. Okay? But that's a viable way to play because it breaks the norm. It breaks the meta for the other player who's like studied it out, knows all the moves, and all of a sudden you're not reacting the way a normal player or a experienced player would. So suddenly I have to completely redo my strategy.
You have to rethink.
Because you're not going to follow any of the things that I'm used to.
Right, you can't predict what I'm going to do.
Right.
Yeah,
because...
Well, I'll follow up with a feint because you're going to dodge this. Oh, you didn't dodge this. Instead, you punched me instead.
It's interesting that you go to fighting games because that's kind of where I first heard the theory was in studying MMA, which I don't actually study. What I mean is
he's
watching
an MMA scholar,
MMA.
Actually.
I really like MMA a lot. In fact, I want to start training.
Oh, really?
For MMA, yeah.
Dude, that's
and
awesome.
We'll have to talk about that on the health episode if we ever have it.
When we have it. It just keeps getting delayed because Borderlands 2 is really fun.
It's also healthy.
Also, yes. making your own game company is really fun.
Yeah. Well, that's probably more important.
We can talk about that too. Anyway,
so theory MMA
with fighting, like the most dangerous person is the inexperienced person because they're going to do crazy things that you have not trained to expect. You know, they might throw an uppercut when a person who's been trained would actually throw a right cross because they don't know
you don't
what I'm doing, so they don't know or so I can't know what they're doing. Yeah. Like, they can't anticipate what I'm about to do. They might not know that an uppercut is the stupidest thing to do right now because, you know, I'm going to catch them. But if they catch me instead because I'm not expecting that, I could be laid out on my back.
With no mental programming, it's really easy to just, I'm going to try this. Why? Because it looks cool.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. I've seen somebody do it before.
This has gone on for a long time because I've always heard that anecdotally and for chess that the beginners, the person that you say, okay, here's the rules, this moves this way, those guys you can smoke any day. They're not a problem. But it's those ones that start seeing, oh, I can switch the queen and the king, you know, or the rook and the king. I can do a scorpion grab. In Mortal Kombat, and you're like, oh wait, there's that combo. Okay, so I'm gonna keep doing Sonic Boom. I'm gonna just keep doing it because I can do it. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I can't. You know, I just can't get it because you keep throwing Sonic Booms, and you're like, you're this one hit wonder, and you're good at one thing on a button masher.
Stop playing it wrong.
Yeah, and it's like you're not playing it right. I can't compete against this. And anecdotally, chess, you know, master chess masters that play with these guys that are like pseudo intermediate go, I don't even want to bother with it because I could actually lose just because I don't know what the hell you're doing. You know?
Right.
So it's definitely weeded its way into games, and it's like I was just thinking, well,
wait, so it came from chess, which is into games.
Video game. I meant
to
say
video
games.
You go. I give you way too much crap.
But what I'm interested in is like Riot, I know. I went to a couple things at GDC last year, and they were talking about how they have these like month development cycles, and I was
fast.
and they're pushing updates every 2 weeks, and so they have this like overlap system of this team is going to push this week, this team this week, and they're pushing updates all the time, and they're tweaking and working with numbers, and I'm like, wait, is League of Legends just a big chess game? But it's much more complicated, and it's a really interesting notion that chess has been around for so long, and the rules have never changed. But we get to play something that, you know, someone could argue is as challenging or as interesting.
Mm-hmm. The world sort of seems to think so.
most players.
Was it 70 million active or 70 million unique
users?
Yeah, they put out that infographic. Did you see that?
I didn't know it was 70 million.
Infographic that Riot put out with. I should have brought it with me. But like it had like more players than anyone else online at all.
Well, I knew that. You know, I just didn't know
unique
it was
players
million
and like 30
unique.
Million players on one day in June, I think.
Yeah,
which is pretty insane.
Yeah,
wow.
And 70 million accounts, individual accounts.
Yeah, which is just
pretty
nuts.
Insane. But yeah, it's cool that you could create a chess game and then tweak it. Yeah, you know the horse just the knight just isn't doing what we want it to.
Balance the knight.
We're gonna nerf Garen because Karate keeps playing Garen, and we gotta nerf him again. You know,
everyone knows the queen in chess is overpowered.
Right.
Okay.
Well, is she though?
She is. She's just OP.
She's totally OP. Turrets are OP too. Trust me, I know.
I know by face.
That's funny.
I'm just kidding. But. But it's interesting because like we started talking about emergent gameplay. I think this is part of it. You know, the balancing element in any of these games. You know, League is a great example just because each character has players that counter them really well. Mm-hmm. You know, and because you don't have that one character who can just beat everybody at all times. You know, there's always somebody to block you.
Yeah,
there's always somebody to stop you from something. You know, it may be somebody you don't expect. The other team may not even know that. Okay, but it happens. You know. Like, I mean, just as another example, Malphite can hard counter Garen pretty well. Okay? He's got a lot of armor, he's got a lot of magic power, he's able to stop him. And he's got a poke, which is long range, which Garen doesn't. And so, an experienced Malphite can really keep Garen away from being effective at all. You know, at the same time, that each character, like, even a power, I mean, I have a real hard time fighting him, generally. And so, and I'm pretty experienced with him, so it's just, you know, I think that delicate balancing act is really effective, really
so
powerful.
That I want to ask you a question because I used to work with a guy who played a lot of what was it?
Dota?
No, not Dota. I mean, I played with a lot of people who played Dota, but no, it was an MMO. It was by Mythic, I want to say. It was not Guild Wars. No, it was it was the one where they had three starting zones and they had a lot of PvP in the middle. Why can I not think of this? Dark Age of Camelot. He played a lot of Dark Age of Camelot.
Okay.
And he loved the PvP in there because if one class got out of control, they just released another class. Mm-hmm. So another class came in and took over and basically was a hard counter to that class. So it seems to me like that's kind of the same approach that League of Legends is taking. They don't necessarily have to go back and redo numbers for people to balance them out because maybe they just release somebody who's a hard counter or has a different specialty than whoever's reigning the top of the charts right now.
I think so.
So is it a good thing?
I think it's good and bad.
Or does that lead to power creep? Because that's what it seems like is happening with League of Legends.
The interesting part about League, it's very balanced, I think, personally, simply in the ways that people play and the skill involved with doing it. The combinations of abilities, combinations of items, combinations of all kinds of different things. There's no one way to play. You know, mm-hmm. each character has several valid methods to being effective.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I've seen, we were talking about Ezreal the other day. Ezreal is a heavy AD carry, you know, attack damage carry.
Sure.
But he can be an AP, mm-hmm. you know, and he can be brutal as a magic dealer.
Well, I had a guy that I worked with who told me one time to try a Mumu as an AP.
Yeah.
Oh, he's
nasty.
Vicious. Yeah. He's vicious. You know, it was crazy.
He can do some real damage.
Now, I'm no good at anybody.
But it's that interesting thing of, like, try this. See what you think. Wow, that I never thought about that before. You know, that's interesting. And that part of the game is, you know, what I think that complexity is what makes is the strength of it. You know, I think that in and of itself is emergent gameplay. Like League itself, it was not like they have a way that the characters are designed.
Uh-huh.
They say this is the way that we think you should play them because we've tested it. We are the developers of the game. We designed the character to be played this way.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you go online to these build guides and all these things. There's hundreds of guides.
Yeah.
Hundreds of opinions. Hundreds of things.
Like, here's how you do it if you're jungling. Here's how you're doing if...
Yeah. And then, like, you go to the next one and he's got completely different, item sets, completely different runes, different, masteries you should try. And you find out what's effective for you. And I think that addictiveness of getting in and trying all these different things and combinations is what gives this game such a great longevity.
So why do you think that it has emergent gameplay? I mean, I could explain why I think it does, but why do you?
Me, personally, I think being able to play a game in a way that the developers didn't exactly design it,
But did they not?
They designed it with that capability in mind, with that idea, but to just try it, give it a shot. Like, there's no thing saying you have to, this is the effective way. This is the meta. This is the way it's the most effective.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, not if I do it this way instead.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought of that before.
it puts min-maxing on its head, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's always, everyone is always looking for the optimal performance with the least amount of effort, right?
Yeah.
And I'm totally eating, so I've got stuck.
Whoa.
Party foul. But yeah, they do a really good job of that, and I cannot speak to Camelot, but when you made that statement, they updated the game until a class got overpowered, and then they just updated a new class. That sounds broken to me. If that statement is true, I don't know specifically for that, but
okay.
But I mean, if you have three races in there, and you're like, the humans aren't really doing well. Let's make a subclass of the humans, and now we have a fourth race, and like. Wait, that's pretty huge.
Yeah.
And then that sounds like a broken design, but they started with what 23, and they're now up over 100 different characters because they update them, and because they've essentially nerfed min-maxing.
Yeah.
Is what they're doing. They know that they can implement new people, and it's not overpowering someone else. It's just always giving a different gameplay. Because if you look, there's what are your options? AD, AP, tank, assassin,
range,
support,
and jungle.
And so you've got all those, and you're like, hey, let's make a new character. All right, let's move this slider down a little bit and AP up really high. What would that look like? Well, that's just like this character over here. Okay. Well, let's move this slider. And I'm almost tempted to think that they just have this slider, this little root, this little mechanical slider. And like, well, what if we just move this and down? let's give him a little less range. Let's give him no range. And all of a sudden, you have this new character. And like I thought, Diana was actually really old hat when I first saw her. And I'm like, dude, this is so dumb. But all of a sudden, her range attack arcs, and I'm like, dude, that's crazy. That's so new. You guys are geniuses. Or, it's really not that different.
And what's it's his such name? A page.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, and they just
or like with Nautilus, how he. If he grabs you, you go both pull together.
Yeah.
Versus right? Blitzcrank.
Not really something that we've seen before.
Well, because Blitzcrank has a pull, but it's a single pull.
Yeah.
Whereas Nautilus, he grabs and pulls you together, and he can also pull on the environment.
Or Amumu, who, if he throws, he comes to you.
Yeah. Right. And so it's like, okay.
Same essential mechanic, but three different methods.
Yeah. But that's not emergent gameplay.
No, that's not emergent.
How you use those abilities.
No.
I think that's where the emergent gameplay comes in.
I think what they're doing is they're allowing for emergent gameplay because of the random combinations. And they're like, okay, how many characters do we have
items?
That has...
Or...
Sure.
I don't think there's emergent gameplay coming in through the characters as much as there is through...
The items.
Sure.
Like the item builds. So there might be emergent design through the characters where they're making changes to the characters and they're like, oh, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. Let's pursue this idea.
But they all... I think some of their skills, I mean... You only get four skills, and then some of their skills, there's one skill that does, does magic and attack damage. And so if you build strong, all of a sudden the character can hit really hard. But if you build really high magic all of a sudden, that one hit, you know, you can hit over time really hard, but if you hit one time really hard, and they've only built for magic armor instead of... I'm rambling, I think.
Magic. No, but I think if, I know what you're talking about. Like, if
so, yeah,
if
the items
giving themselves magic protection, but you're coming in with attack damage,
right?
They're going to go down.
They're, you know, and it's unexpected, and so the emergent gameplay, I guess, comes with a combination of the skills. But they, I think, they balance the skills really well because you only get four, right?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, that's a ranged skill, that's a slow skill, that's a stun skill. What other skills do you have? You get one that lets you hit
it's
a little
silence,
harder on the next hill. There's a silence. There's a pull, there's a grab.
There's crowd control.
There's crowd, you know, and we have all these terms for all these things. And it's really, it's like, okay, well, let's just shake a little cup and pull four out, and those are the skills you get, right? And every now and then they do come out with, I suppose, a new skill or something unique, but in a way it's not. But
well,
it's like, how do you do that?
Been really interesting.
Like, yeah, and then every now and then they're like, let's make this range instead of straight, curved.
Yeah.
What's that going to do? Holy crap, that makes this person way OP'd. how do we nerf it so it's actually balanced? That's really interesting.
Well, like Syndra recently, they released her, and she throws these little orbs all over the place.
Right. Yeah, weird, crazy black.
Yeah. She throws black orbs on the ground, and she could pick up minions and chuck them at you, which I thought was one of the funniest things ever. Watching her pick up the red.
I know, I wish I could do it as Vengar. Yeah, that's...
It's hilarious.
You know, I hate jungling with a Syndra because they're like,
watch
this. I'm like, you jerk! I'm juggling here!
I'm doing stuff!
Anyways.
But just that kind of a change, it's so subtle.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, I remember how people were really excited about that. And like, you can do that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, and not, I haven't seen a lot of people really pick her up. But just even just that slight tweak, it speaks volumes to the people that follow this game, that see the expectations and look at a new character and go, what could I do with that?
Yeah.
You know, what could I do with this new little tool that you've given me here?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they were like, okay, we're going to let you throw a minion and toss it at the other guy, and it's going to, you know, throw him off because they've never seen that before. And so it's like, I want to see what this does to jungles, you know. And then you're like, I mean, what if you could? Yeah, I mean, you're totally just, you know, griefing your own team because you're like, watch this jungler, I'm going to screw with you. Or all of a sudden it goes, wait a minute, this is a really new way of jungling that we can jungle all the guys, but they're not in their normal spot. So if some guy tried to counter jungle you, all of a sudden Syndra is helping you. I mean, I'm just making up a random scenario, but all of a sudden we just made a really interesting. I want to try that now.
Well, because I mean, we spoke about emergent gameplay, and I think my question is, like, for example, does basketball have emergent gameplay? You know,
Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, but that's more of a show than a game. Like, they break the rules all the time. That's not actually emergent gameplay. That's breaking the rules of the game.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do whatever they want. I'm talking like for example, the slam dunk.
Well, okay,
it wasn't in the initial thing. Like, that wasn't really supposed to be allowed, and it wasn't disallowed because no one even thought of doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, and someone decided, you know, let's do that. Now it's normal. It's very common.
Yeah. And we created a new competition for the best slam dunks. Right.
Right. Being a little showy and going underneath your leg as you come up and then do it backwards, that's pretty awesome.
Right.
Okay. You never would have done that without that little bit. And I think that is emergent gameplay. I haven't seen anything crazy since then. You know, the pick and roll, was that emergent? I don't know.
Probably.
You know, or is it just strategy? Like, and what's the difference?
I'm sure when somebody originally did it, they were like, oh, that worked really well, you know, and it was emergent gameplay, and then it became a part of the game because just like in League of Legends, you know, I don't know, maybe somebody figured out that if you kill the turrets, you win the game.
I hope someone figured that out.
Yeah,
you know,
somebody figured that out very, very quickly. And it just became part of the game. And I know that was designed originally, but, you know, jungling, you know, that was, it was part of the design, but was it part of the design to the extent that people are using it, you know?
I don't think it was initially part of the design. Original League of Legends, like, was generally 2-1-2, you know, it was way back in the day.
You're talking the original Dota.
Like even the Dota originally didn't have junglers. You didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, and League of Legends, I think they planned on some of that, but I don't think it was going to be a normal. It was going to be these monsters that you could go and get a little bonus XP before you get back in late.
The buff. It was.
Yeah, you grab the buff and run back.
You have a little
bit extra gold, maybe.
Yeah.
But like the idea of actually doing just jungle, I think that was originally an emergent gameplay idea.
Sure.
It was like, I bet I can get enough this way. And then they rebalance the experience.
And they're like,
and
hey, let's make Fiddlesticks.
That was viable.
Yeah.
I hate that guy. I hate when he shows up.
Too awesome.
Oh, man.
Is that why?
He's just.
He's so OP.
Freaking Crowstorm. But that's what I mean. But I can't
play Fiddlesticks the same way.
No, his silence and then his fear and then his Crowstorm.
All three at once, you're just.
Yeah, he just nukes you.
I can't do it.
Oh, he's a nuker.
Well, the reason that I originally wanted to bring this up was to kind of talk to you guys and see, can we, as game designers, developers, can we plan for emergent gameplay?
That's a good question.
I personally think that we can allow it, but I don't think that we can necessarily. I mean, if we're designing it like, hey, this is how I want you to play the game, it's not really emergent gameplay.
Right.
I mean, emergent gameplay is crazy. It's weird. It's, you know, my son playing Super Rub-A-Dub, just like flinging the controller around.
Right.
And just like having the best time ever doing it. It was amazing to see. I was like, okay, so this kid is playing the game in a completely new way. Yeah. Like, he's not playing the game that was designed.
Sure.
It's like when, you know, when your brother decided not to use the sword.
Yeah.
You know, or somebody decides not to collect a single coin in Super Mario. Or I was playing Final Fantasy Tactics, you know, and I realized, oh, if I get really close to the archer and kind of corner him, he can't go anywhere. How far can I level up? Just by stealing gil from this guy who can't shoot me. And so I played that game for probably in total like 30 hours just doing that game of like, get an archer, get him in the corner, steal gold from him.
Yeah.
You know? And that was the game to me, was how can I do this? Okay, now that I can do this, how far can I take it? If I take it to that level, what happens then?
Yeah.
And that was what was interesting to me. Just so you know, you get a lot of gil, you get a lot of experience, and then the game becomes really, really easy, except for the random encounters, because they level up with you.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Hmm.
Very cool.
So,
you should try it sometime.
Oh, gosh. I was just thinking of another example that Hearts. I had a nephew, he's like 4 or 5, and he figured out how to play Hearts on the computer.
Uh-huh.
He's hitting the buttons, and he has no clue the rules of the game, but he figured out he can get a really high number, which is the complete opposite of the game, and he was so elated. Oh. I got the highest number!
That's funny.
He hits 100 first, and the game's over, and it says game over, but it doesn't really message well, you won or you lost, and he's like, I got the highest number! And we're like, good job, buddy. But
that was the game.
Oh, okay, so... Yeah. I was following another friend, Adam Ellis, Chaos Technician, @ChaosTechnician. Let's do some name dropping, shall we? He's now working at Microsoft, and I don't know if this was a side game or not, but he's tweeting, and he's like, just found out my motorcycle game, if you fall off the motorcycle, and the motorcycle passes the finish line, you finish the race, but you don't have to. And he's like, you know, and with a hashtag found big bug or something like that. I was like, that's not a bug. That's a really cool feature, you know. And all of a sudden you've created a new achievement for, you know, finish a game without not crossing the line. And like, how the heck would you do that? And someone figures it out. And so you kind of figured it out. And I almost think that, I don't know if it was old development processes like waterfall development that stopped that from happening. Or if
they stop
emergent gameplay, but like I think those moments of emergent gameplay that happens, well, you can if you say that's not in the book, that's not in the design bible.
I
fix that bug, and I don't want to ever see that again. Where it's like, what if we just made a game where it's how far can you huck your motorcycle because you just found a bug that's now the biggest feature of the game? Pain.
Yeah.
Well, have you guys played Trials HD?
No.
I know what you're talking about, but no.
Awesome game. But
I mean, I played it back in high school in, like, 95, when it was Excitebike or whatever.
Oh, no, that's a different game. This is much different. I loved Excitebike,
Well, too. No, it wasn't Excitebike, but it was like Trials HD, where you had this bike, and you had to, like, navigate all these crazy, crazy things.
Yeah, anyway, I don't remember what it was like a Line Rider game or something like that, like they had those kind of things. Yeah.
It was kind of like that. I don't know. Christian would know, because we played it in Dr. Nemat's room. I don't know. Whatever it is, Christian, post it on Facebook.
But the reason I brought that up, Trials HD has a lot of little side missions, little things you can do that are based around little quirks of the game. Launching yourself off the bike and trying to get as far as you possibly can.
Oh, funny. And there's an achievement for it? Or?
Well, there's a whole side, like, game to it.
Oh, wow.
Of just, like, here's this big thing. Try to go as fast as you can. Launch yourself at the right speed and the right angle to launch, just fly as far as you possibly can. And Trials HD is brilliant because it tracks what your friends are doing, too. But it's pretty inobtrusive of how it does it.
Mm.
So that when you throw yourself, it's like, oh, I know. How did he get that far? You know, how did he get 5 feet farther than me? You know, and you're fighting that kind of thing. And, like, half of Trials, like, we would brute force that game a lot. Okay? Because it's a hard game. Like, some of the really tough tracks are really difficult. And me and two of my friends, we'd sat there and just, like, I can't do this part, you do this part. Okay, nice. Okay, now you're good at this part, nice. This kind of thing, go ahead. And it's we go back, like, and forth.
It's almost like when he used to, okay, you know what, I'll play until I die, and then you can play until you die, and then we'll just keep trading off, trading controllers.
Well, I'm thinking of Gold and I were like, I cannot get big head mode. Oh, you can't beat that level in two minutes? Let me do that. Well, but I can't get, you know, the golden gun. Oh, no, I know how to get the golden gun level. Yeah. You know, let me
but,
do
but
that.
But that kind of thing, like, this is back before online play, and everybody only played by themselves with, you know, only seeing people online. But, like, that kind of thing, I think, created a community around gaming. Which I think is still, at least for older gamers, you know, is still part of the whole experience. The fact that, I mean, you watch the online leaderboard, some of the younger kids, they don't have a clue, you know, what this gaming community was back in the day with arcades and all these things, where it's like, you wanted to beat that machine, okay, awesome. We were talking about fighting games earlier. You knew the guys you were going to fight against. Because they were buddies of yours.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you're like, oh, that's the guy who uses
Or like it's just some random dude off the street. Like, like we said, you know, that guy who you have no idea what you're going to get.
Yep.
Like, he's the most dangerous person in the room right now. You've got to show him.
I don't know your techniques.
You've got to show him.
Yeah.
Well, George,
learn something.
The Seinfeld episode where George Costanza is a Pac-Man.
Frogger!
It's Frogger. And he's trying to get the machine across whip-powered, and no one will help him do it. And it's like, making a whole 30-minute episode just
so
about that
funny.
Conundrum is epic, you know. But yeah, I mean, that was definitely a
sentiment. Having your names up on the high score was a big deal.
Yeah,
you know, and the gaming community, I think, is we've gone all over the place now. But I think gaming community
Welcome
is just really
the
important. Yeah, no kidding. I'm a bit of a newcomer still, but
the podcast
apparently I'm right into it.
The podcast is emergent gameplay. Yeah,
emergent podcast. we're going to rename it Emergence.
Emergence.
That's a good. I think it's a good name.
I actually think Emergent Podcast is perfect.
I like it.
We should so make that.
I know.
TM.
Anyway.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. So you know what? At some point, we're going to have to talk about ideas because I think I'm perfectly fine sharing a lot of my ideas for games and stuff. on the podcast, and if somebody takes them, awesome, because the idea that I present is not going to translate the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, and so anyway.
We were actually just talking about this before we saw you.
Really?
That's awesome. We were talking about those two movies. Friends with Benefits and the other one.
I don't
know. Mila Kunis and Justin Timberlake, and then Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher.
Like, and who knows which of those combinations were in the movies, but two of them were in the movies, and they were friends with benefits, so they were making out without any relationship.
And it was the same. It was the same exact movie.
It was almost like
it was not exactly.
It was jokingly the same premise.
Right.
Yeah, it was basically two people. Can two friends be, you know, sex buddies without it becoming a relationship? Is that possible?
Yeah.
You know, and I think both answered no eventually. It's like, no, it's not possible. You're going to have feelings for each other and whatever.
Yeah.
But essentially, the idea was the same. And pretty high-profile actors in both.
Right.
You know, but we were talking about how I don't know which one's more successful or not, but the fact that they were there is like, there's no such thing as a completely unique idea.
Yeah.
There's a unique approach and a unique, use of that idea. There's a unique implementation of that idea.
You mentioned Madagascar and The Wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, The Wild had Kiefer Sutherland, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not...
Yeah, I mean, this was the main vampire. I mean, come on.
That's not... No, Kiefer Sutherland is 24.
What?
No, he was the main vampire in...
Yeah. What was it called?
Gosh, what is that movie?
Oh, now I can't remember.
80s movie about... Oh.
I remember him from...
Corey Feldman.
Oh man.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh,
Josh Brolin.
I missed that one.
No, wait.
Great movie.
Okay, I just combined whatever that movie is with Goonies. So
yeah,
sorry,
that's what I'm saying. Like, what are you talking
Josh
about?
Josh Brolin! Anyway, no, we should probably wrap up tonight.
I remember him in Stand By Me as the bad guy.
Who?
Kiefer Sutherland?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, was he?
The bad guy?
He's like the teenage punk kid who threatens to shoot him.
Oh, man.
He was also a vampire.
The other kid pulls a gun on him.
What was that
movie? Don't you remember?
I'm IMDb.
We're the worst.
Right, I can't believe I can't think of that.
We need to think
well,
of
it. Yeah, we should know. So Corey Haim died like last year. Corey Haim died. Sad. And so I looked at. He did a movie that was like a continuation, but it was 20 years after that vampire movie.
Yeah.
And it was atrocious. It was so
it was like,
bad.
It was like motorcycling vampires.
It was like way worse than B movie. It was not even like remotely.
Well, if you actually go back and watch the movie that we're talking about, and I'm embarrassed that I can't remember what it's called.
Lost Boys.
Oh, Lost Boys.
Well, and
Lost Boys to the Tribe.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, Lost Boys 2 and Troll 2, both up for running for really, really bad implementation in general.
Anyway. All right.
Okay.
We gotta
wrap this up.
Nope, we gotta cut it.
Right
we're well over an hour.
We're almost
an hour and a half. So
that's pretty
cool.
The
end.
All right. So
we're done.
Next week, I like this.
Is it? It's cut.
We're going to each give our favorite game pitch.
Hey, is it
and
stopped?
We're going to discuss them.
No, it's still... It's
yeah. Oh, we're still recording? Okay,
yeah.
So we're not doing that.
Oh, no.
Do you not remember what we're doing
next week? Josh Jones.
We have a guest...
We're gonna have
next week.
I want to do the idea pitches. I want to do game pitches. That'll
we will do that. We will do that soon.
Okay, so next week, Josh Jones, he's like a lead programmer at SmartBomb. Right?
We will find out. He does work in the industry.
I know he's flipping rock star.
Yeah, he actually does a lot, and we'll talk to him about that next week.
Also, okay. He's a rock star.
He's an awesome guy.
He's a rock star.
He is.
He's got the hair.
He plays bass.
Yeah.
Does he really?
No.
I have no idea. I'm totally just making it up.
I was like, he's never told me that. Really? Well, at Sensory Sweep, we actually did have some rock stars.
Dude.
Yeah.
I'm always jealous of the guys who can play music, too.
Yeah, I know.
Me too.
I'm terrible.
Oh, we'll talk about music in games sometime, too.
Anyway. Okay, so...
Onomatoguchi, you gotta listen to it. It's awesome.
Yes, we'll link to it in the podcast.
You'll link to it. I'm just gonna upload, and you do the post.
We figured out who can wave his magic wand of internet magicry and
who can use his
iPhone as a podcast maker.
We'll get it going.
So you know what? Everyone left. They lost interest, or I don't know what happened.
I think we just kept talking.
The thing is,
this is still a development lab.
Yes.
Like, there's still work to be done here, and so unfortunately, as we're here talking,
we got stuff.
I've got much more important things to do. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
So all that's left is
how many
Spencer?
Of them are playing League of Legends right now?
I'm joking.
He's in between games. They're actually
they're working.
Look at that. They're working.
That's awesome.
What do you know?
They're doing work. Yeah, so surprised.
Oh, hey, okay, so let's wrap this up. Twitter handle, the Spenny. So stoked.
Isn't that awesome?
I was mad. Oh. Spenny was taken, and you know, this killed
Spenny
me.
I-E. N-N-I-E.
Yeah, S-N-N-I-E.
Yeah, N-N-I-E.
S-P-E.
All right, let's spell it for everyone.
I know, right?
At the T-H-E. S-P-E-N-N-I-E.
Yeah. At the Spenny.
I was awesome. Really miffed that, like, not so much that Spenny was taken.
Change yours to the karate.
No, karate's cool.
Flat karate.
Okay.
But, like, I would have taken Spenny, but someone had it. The doofus thing is, he, like, hasn't been active for 4 years. And I'm like, what? Really? Come on. And so I actually messaged
just
him.
Just free
like,
it
off. I was like, come on. Can you free it up? Can I get this?
Did you send him a message through Twitter?
Yeah, I totally
probably
tweeted
won't
it.
Ever get it.
How else was I supposed to contact him? There was no other way. And I was like, well, I'll try it.
He was connected to his phone 4 years ago.
His palm trio?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh, I went there.
Be nice.
I went there. I had
palm trios.
I had two of those. I had the 650 and the 700.
Oh, well, Spencer's no longer on the podcast.
Well, that was a long time ago. This is like...
You should show your phone now.
Yeah, it's pink. I'm not going to lie about it. It's my favorite color.
So,
okay, Spenny. Spencer, the Spenny.
At the Spenny.
At the Spenny.
Awesome. Trent. On Twitter. I've got at Thunderhead _ I. And Thunderhead is one word. _ I. Just
I.
Thunderhead. It's for Thunderhead Interactive.
Cool.
Which is way too long for Twitter, I guess. They're a bunch of haters, whatever. So Thunderhead _ I. And then you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Thunderhead Games. And please, if you like what we're doing here, please like Thunderhead Games. Tell all your friends about it. Make them listen to the podcast as well.
Rock on.
Sweet.
And
I'm at Karate, at KARRATTI, or karate.com.
Yes.
Nice.
Which is so awesome.
All right.
Everyone's jealous of you.
I know. Sorry.
Anyway. All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us for a marathon episode. And we will see you again next week.
Here I am waving.
Bye.
See you later.
Take luck.